In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow. There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
And welcome to another episode of Strange Planet, and thanks as always for sticking me in your ear. Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. In fact, we just discovered we're practically neighbors, and that doesn't happen too often. We're going to talk with psychic medium Jim Hunt from the acclaimed television show Knock Knock Ghost, which is currently available on Amazon Prime. And Jim travels the world searching for answers to some of our biggest questions about what happens when we die. That's really the only question that matters as far as I'm concerned. Everything else is just details. He'll also talk about his experiences and research in Eastern Canada's historically haunted locations, as well as his adventures over the years with Bigfoot, aliens, shapeshifters, and lots more. Jim is an acclaimed psychic medium who became aware of his sixth sense at the early age of five. He was born in Montreal to a half-Native psychic mother, raised, nurtured, and guided by both the living and the dead. It's all I knew, he says. He says, I had to embrace this gift because I couldn't shut it off. He has a degree in logistical engineering and a certificate in culinary arts. He set forth to enter the corporate world anonymously and under the radar for nearly two decades. He says, I was able to see the world, 60 cities in 30 different countries. It was an amazing experience. He knew it was time for his life to take a new direction, however, and he was being called to live out his soul's mission to guide, educate, and serve. Jim went on to complete his certificate in life coaching. It was then that his soul journey began. Over the years, Jim has helped thousands of people around the globe set and achieve goals, both personally and professionally, with his unconventional methods. His out-of-the-box approach to solving problems comes naturally. He walks the walk, and his clients appreciate his humility. Jim Hunt, welcome to the program. How are you?
Pretty good. When I hear that intro, I'm just saying, that is me. That's great. That's awesome. Thank you.
You are a Renaissance man, a culinary arts and a logistical engineer. I have family that are engineers.
Yes.
They're brilliant people.
Yes, they are.
Linear thinking, not necessarily things out of the box. And yet here you are, about as out of the box as a person can be. How do you square the two?
And I think I invited the engineering side only because of necessity, because in the early 70s and 80s, I don't think psychics or mediums or anybody who was intuitive was really respected in any form whatsoever, other than a crystal ball in front of a commercial, and we were chastised or made fun of. So I really held that very close and dear to my heart. And my mother, she basically said, try not to expose yourself too fast, too quickly. Your time will come. So it did happen. And I was kind of blessed that way. So I was finished with the logistical engineering side, and I took the artistic side through culinary arts, which allowed me to be expressive. And then at the end of all of that, I really was in tune to my psychic ability, which I've used forever, but not in a way that I have been using it for the last 15 years.
So you discovered you had this ability at the age of 5.
Yes.
Do you remember what happened to you at the age of 5?
As if it was happening yesterday. And I love the story, and it doesn't change. Maybe the size of the sandbox does, but nothing else. But so I'm 5 years old. I was born in October, so I get to miss going to school with everyone. So I had to wait until I was actually 6 before I went into school back in good old Quebec. And so I'm sitting out. Everyone's in school. I'm playing with my sandbox, and it was early spring for me, and sitting out there with a sweater, and there was a man kitty corner to the sandbox where I was, a little gaunt, not very, very, very peaceful, very nice. And I just really wasn't paying too much attention to him. And as I was continuing my playing with my little shovel and pail, I looked at him again, and he was pointing a finger towards his left and looking at the sand constantly, pointing without a word. And I felt annoyed enough that I went to where he was pointing his finger, took my shovel and my pail, started digging, and lo and behold, I found my G.I. Joe with the space capsule buried in the sand. I had complained to my mother last winter that I lost it, and where did it go, or was I being punished because I didn't have it anymore? And that's what he was pointing to. That was my very, very first experience.
Wow.
Yes.
Amazing. Very quickly, a quick aside, because I also had a G.I. Joe that was the NASA. I got it for my 7th birthday. He had the actual brush cut, but it was real hair. Same one?
Same one.
Ah, yes. You see? We're connected on many levels.
Are we ever? It was one of my most cherished toys. It really was.
Same here. Did it talk when you pulled the cord?
I didn't have that far advanced. I had the first one that came out. So there was no talking in it yet.
All right. People are saying, enough about G.I. Joe. Get back to the ghosts, for crying out loud. So why do you think it happened then and there? Age of 5 in a sandbox. I mean, if you're born with this, I don't know if you're born with it, why does it choose this gift to happen and begin at a certain point in your, was there something traumatic that happened in your life that maybe opened this up?
You know, nothing traumatic happened to me until I got much older. This was an age of innocence. It was the 60s. I was nurtured by an amazing family. There was, we all have our trials and tribulations, I'm sure, but at 5 years old, I didn't know if my parents could afford this or do this or do anything. I was just loved. And I had another sister on board who was four, and my mother was pregnant for a third. So it was nothing too spectacular. But when I look back into my own history and my past life regressions that I've done with other intuitives, I am a very old soul, is what they're telling me. And that instead of waiting until I was in my 60s like I am now to catch up to it all and to learn, they started me at five. And I progressively got stronger in the reality of being able to speak to ghosts, see aura colors. I'm a bit of a healer in the sense of what my mother was able to do. And just looking at aura colors, I was able to save myself basically from bullies, from people that would talk too much. And you'd see their aura colors and they would either be mean people, happy people, talkative people, and their colors would change as I would progressively talk to them. And I would tell my mother that, and then all of a sudden, my mother said, you need to keep this under wraps. I don't want you to be abused or taken, really hurt by other people, especially when you don't understand that you really do hurt people, right? So I really kept it under wraps and kept it with my family. So there was nothing traumatic. Nothing like that happened until the series of people passing. By the time I was 17 to 21, I had lost 14 people.
In your immediate circle, your family?
My family, my mother, my father, uncles, an aunt, great aunts, my grandmother's sisters, my grandfather's brothers, everybody all of a sudden came out of nowhere. So we were sitting at 18 years old with just me and my sisters at one point in a duplex in Lachine, Quebec, just trying to figure out what our next steps were. So that's our trauma.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And when did spirits start coming to you looking for help?
I would say from five on, I would be asked where the light is. And that was a common thing for me. And all I would do was point to it. I wouldn't really do much work, or I wasn't abused by them. I was blessed this way or very well protected. And I would just point to the light and just say, that's where you need to go. And I would know them by name, and I would hear through my mother, oh, Mrs. Kenville, she passed away, or Mr. Levesque just had a car accident and his wife passed away. And I would see all of these things visually before I saw the actual person, or I would tell my mother of an event that would happen in advance. So I was more of a futurist in trauma for people. So I was very careful with what I was saying, because you didn't want to scare somebody and just say, oh, wow, Mr. Lefebvre, this is your last day today, you know, and because you just saw different colors around you. So it was a little bit mind blowing. But again, my age of reasoning, I thought it was just normal. I wasn't afraid of it. So I was maybe a little bit weirder than the most 5 year olds or 6 year olds.
When you saw someone who had passed, was it usually connected to a sudden death or even a violent death?
Not until I got older, when I was looking for it, because that's what the world wanted us to see. For me, it was somebody who died of natural causes, or really heavy. I found cancer was a very big deal for me to be surrounded by as a child. And knowing that they would pass away from cancer, which ultimately took my mother's life. So it was something that I was being prepared for, or letting them know that, you know, there was a woman whose son passed away at 2.5 of leukemia, and they were crying and they were doing this. I knew nothing of this. And I just said to the mother, unknowing or unbeknownst to me, that why is Johnny beside you? He's not touching me, and you're not talking to them. And they all blew up and started to blew up in a sad way, started to cry. And that's when my mother just took me aside and just said, you have to hold on to those, what you see. And I did ever since then, because I was then petrified of saying anything to anyone. So I just clammed up and it looked like I became an introvert extrovert.
So the light, we hear that throughout history and literature, and anecdotally, we always hear about, you know, go towards the light. It seems so easy. I mean, as you say, you just point to the light. Why can't they see it?
Because there are, just like when we're alive, we're in a different flux. Some of us are afraid of death because we don't believe that there is an afterlife. And when I'm using them as an example right away, and then they notice that they're in this dimensional change, that their spirit is alive. They've seen the shell of their body. They've seen their family, and they're so frightened that they don't look beyond what's in front of them. We, as human beings, as you know, get frightened easily, and we feel the despair and the anguish that we become panicked. So what my belief is, they go into this energy and this after-death process with anxiety, stress, unknown. So they're looking around, but not looking up and down, just looking what's in front of them, their movie picture. And it's when a medium or a psychic can actually break that little bit of a cycle to get them out of that loop and just say, hi, I'm here, I see you. It's time to go. And they look at you and they go, thank you, and off they go. Or they don't say thank you at all, and just boom, they're gone. They don't do that little peek in and after, hey, thanks a lot, Jim, I found the light. They don't do that anymore. Or they've never really done it. So just to let you know.
So it sounds, well, you tell me.
Sure.
But based on what you've said so far, it sounds like you were quite fortunate in that you were usually encountering, what do we say, higher vibrational souls. Or were you getting some really negative entities? I shouldn't say entities. These are the spirits of people that have passed on.
So I was not involved with the darker, evil type energy, because either I was super protected by it, which I assume I was, and I have never seen, I have to answer this in so many different ways. So sorry, Richard. So I have never seen a child spirit lost in after death experience. They are pulled in by music. They don't know any better. They pay attention. They're looking for their mummy. They're looking for their grandparent. They're looking for someone. They are pulled directly into the light. There's an attention there. As we get older, we tend to shut off of those exit doors for us to move into the light. We're too petrified because of what our earthly side does to us. We made this look so bad by so much media. And there is evil out there. I've dealt with it. I've been choked, stabbed, right in Goderich, Ontario. I've been smacked, hair pulled. I can go through all of those things, but it doesn't last long, because my threat to them is, if you hurt me or my family, you will no longer in spirit be able to do any of this, and boom, they're gone. We threaten them just like we threaten a bully, and they go. It's that simple. We were just making it too big. Are there poltergeists that will fight me and try and do all of that? Absolutely. But I ignore it. I ignore the process and let it go.
Fascinating.
I'm a tough psychic.
Well, tough love, I guess, right?
Yes, sort of.
Are you ever asked, in addition to help, you know, with directions to the light, to ever deliver messages?
Always. There's a couple that I talk about that are dear to my heart. In my previous life with another group, previous life in this life, sometime in the late 80s, I was traveling from Toronto to Montreal for a visit. I stopped in Joyceville, Ontario, and we stopped at this stop. Everyone have a bathroom break, and I was watching this man on the phone, super red-faced, very annoyed, and he was a truck driver, and he was very upset at the point. And we all went to sit down, and he was still upset and annoyed. And I saw his mother around him. I didn't know it was his mother at the beginning. And he was still on the phone, and he was pacing, and he was slamming the phone up against the old school phones, you know, slamming them and hitting them and doing everything that was so annoying to him. And I went up to him, and I just said, "Hey, you need to go to the hospital." And he looked at me, he says, with every profanity that he had possible, to say, "Get out of my space, get away from me, blah, 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 blah." And I just said, "Hang on one second. Before you lose your temper on me, your mother said that you will have a heart attack, and she died because of her heart attack just last year. And she's the one warning me to tell you to go to the hospital."
Wow.
You can find the report at Kingston General. He went there and he had triple bypass surgery that same day.
Amazing.
So those are the kind of messages that I can give that are frightening to me, scary for my family, because I took the chance to see somebody that did not believe in anything other than his next dispatch and got him to calm down. He left his truck there, took a taxi, and he survived.
You saved his life, or his mother saved his life.
His mother saved his life. I certainly didn't, because I was, how I look at it, and I'm not taking this in any other form other than we as psychics, psychic mediums, anyone who's intuitive, who is a message, represents the dead to give messages, that's our responsibility.
All right, Jim, we'll take a quick time out, come back, and discuss further with acclaimed psychic medium Jim Hunt.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents in easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as self-evident. You're listening to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
And we're back with acclaimed psychic medium Jim Hunt. And you may recognize him from Knock Knock Ghost. That ran, what, three seasons?
That it's on its third season. They put in a new psychic medium. They were, after the second season, nothing against the show, nothing against anybody in there. And I've discussed this millions of times, so I don't get any hate mail. I was just moving on. That wasn't for me any longer. It just didn't work.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You're working on a new show, right? It's in the works.
It's in the works. We're slowly getting it together. My hands are tied, my lip is sealed, but it's in the works, and we're really excited, and it's going to be international this time, which is going to be fantastic.
Right. So, past lives, haunted locations, ghosts, all things paranormal.
I think it's something like a paranormal pub crawl somewhere.
Oh, I like.
I knew I'd get you to smile, but it's just like, I want to experience with other people things that I've done throughout my life and traveling the world and doing the things that I've seen. And I want people to just see what I see, and without fear, but with appreciation, and admire the dead that are trying to give us messages and help us through our daily routines of life, and especially with everything that's going on today.
All right. So people just have to stay tuned, following you on Facebook, and they can join your monthly Friday Night Live Instagram feed.
Look at you, yes.
And then hopefully there'll be an announcement forthcoming on the new TV show.
Yes, it will. And I'm very excited to let people know.
I don't know if this was through Knock Knock Ghost or just during your own travels and investigations, but you mentioned Goderich.
Mm-hmm.
And an encounter with a lower vibrational entity. Can you share that with me?
Sure. It was towards the end of our second season, and we were in Goderich at the Goderich jail. And we were doing our thing. We did our walkthrough, and I felt very uncomfortable walking these little windy stairs, and I didn't feel right about it. And I let my cameraman, who follows me everywhere and scares the crap out of him, which I enjoyed the most because he was fun, because he was a non-believer until the end of the second year. And he would come with me, and I just said, this place is not safe. Like, there's something on here. And I just said, we just got to keep an eye on the stairs. And if we're going to do this, let's get up the stairs quickly, because that's how the show is being posted. So we did it. And as I went up the stairs, I felt a really sharp pain on my right side. And it was the size of my little finger. And it was a hole. I was shivved by something. And I said, that hurts. And my cameraman took a look, and I was bleeding. And there was no way that I can do it myself. He didn't do it because he had the camera on me. So we had to cut at that point, get taped up, and finish off the show. And I did a cleansing or a clearing of that stairway before we did and continued the show, which the co-host and everybody else was kind of pissed. But I needed not for that to happen to me or anybody ever again.
Right, right. And how do you cleanse?
It's not mystical. It's there's a couple of things that I was taught by a demonologist. There's a couple of things that elders had taught me. So I will white light all of my chakras for my crown, third eye, throat, heart, sacral, and root. I will white light all of those and bury the white light under my feet, so I'm protected immediately by a white light, which is maybe a little bit of Catholicism, but it really does work, white light, because it tends to blind the dark. And then I imagine a mirror that we're looking into, and I invert the mirror and spread it down the rest of my body so that if anybody plans on attacking me, whatever they're doing energy-wise and low vibration will bounce right back to them. So that's my two main things that I do.
Now that entity, that protects you from the entity, but that doesn't, that entity is still earthbound, right?
Absolutely. They're still there waiting for another victim, and which I call it a victim, who some people have hauntings in their home. I don't like using that term. I would say their home is active. There are a lot of different things that are going on in their homes. And myself and my little crew, when we're not filming, we go into homes right across Canada, and we rid them of that energy. But you really don't get rid of them, which people don't understand, but it makes them feel better. They just don't come to attack it anymore, because we will remove them from the premises enough to keep them at bay or to lock the door from them. And that's with the old school smudging, which aboriginally they don't like us to use or say. So I go in and say we smoke or we use Palo Santo, and we remove as much of that energy from that home as possible.
Are those entities, are they demons? Are they just nasty people that were nasty when they were alive and they're nasty now? What are they?
I would say you've taken every single one of those. A lot of them are angry that they passed away and they were unfulfilled on their earthly plane. And when their spiritual plane, they're not any happier because they don't want to go to the light because they think that they're going to come back and do this all over again, which most likely we will do. And then they become argumentative and defiant towards the light, even though they do see it. So they do tend to pick on us, and they do get evaluated by a demon, because most of these soul beings to me are lower than dirt. They they don't belong. But the demon side of it, they enjoy that because it allows the demon to move in and be undetected for something else that they're going to cause harm while the other little troublemakers are just creating havoc. Because we've all seen possessions on people. So it's pretty bad.
I want to pick up on that point when we come back with Jim Hunt, acclaimed psychic medium. Back with more in a moment.
It's time to redefine reality. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Jim Hunt, the website is jimhuntofficial.com, jimhuntofficial.com. Would it be fair to say that demonic oppressions and possessions are far more common than most of us would care to believe?
Yes. They do some horrific things. They will constantly, They will constantly make us sick. They will make us feel anxious. And it's just not our own upbringing. People who have a normal routine life, who are not doing anything wrong, will feel anxious out of nowhere. And it's the energy that these demonics are putting out there to try and control. So they enjoy that side of their lives. And it's up to us to take a look as a medium to see what's around you, who's around you, what are they doing. And I find that I call them clingers that hang on because they can take us into a place where we don't want to go. Like, I forgot something, I better run back into the house. And then all of a sudden, a whole bunch of energy will come at you going back into that house that you've just cleansed.
Are these attachments, or the clingers that you refer to, are they demonic or are they ghosts or spirits?
They are ghosts. They are spirits. And there's a definition between both of those. But they're on the darker side of the energy where they cannot carry the strength of an angelic or of a ghost who's lost. They can cross on different planes because there's so many different levels of spirituality that we have here on Earth that it is the same thing in the spirit world, where dimensionally you can cross paths and never see one another. But these little low-lying pieces of bad energy will just annoy you and do it long enough that it'll take someone and become angrier. And I'm watching it through COVID. I'm watching for so many sad things that are just not fair to the people who are alive that are feeling what they're feeling. And a majority of it isn't just the cause of COVID, which it has been, but their emotional levels are being drained by these dark energies.
You've had a number of past life regressions.
Yes, I have.
I've been told, and I've witnessed it, I've witnessed a number of past life regressions. We've had them done on the air.
Yes.
And I've witnessed, you know, people revisit a traumatic event, a traumatic death, for example, mm-hmm. in a previous life. That injury may explain some undiagnosed ailment that they've had in this life. Mm-hmm. Did you undergo a past life regression with a specific reason in order to uncover some current malaise or?
Absolutely. And I don't mind saying it because it's good for everyone to understand. I went in for my depression. I tried to understand at such a young age, having so many good things, why I was so sad still at 7, 8, and 9 and couldn't get out of that. 14 was the worst for me with suicidal thoughts. And to work against the dark energy that was continuously berating me, saying, it's okay. This is the short bridge. Jump off of there. You'll get hit by a truck. And they are talking to me. And that's where people have a hard time understanding. I'm being talked to that way. And it's all on the right side of my body, which is not the heart chakra side, which is the left. And the annoyance was them bickering on the left, the spiritual protectors fighting against the right side of my body. You would think that I was a sociopath or a psychopath. And it was just nonstop talking to me. And I didn't know what to do. I never would have taken my life. But the ease at how they can coerce you into doing certain things so that they can gain something from a demonic saying, look, I made him kill himself. What do I get out of this? Is what I see beyond what other people see. They get a thrill out of this shit. Sorry, didn't mean to swear.
That's all right. That under normal circumstances might be diagnosed as schizophrenia.
Schizophrenia. Yeah.
Was that a consideration at some point?
At a very young age, and diagnosed to nothing. And I'm going to be honest. What two of the doctors told my mother was I was a prolific liar, and that I was going to die by the age of 16. That was a doctor's diagnosis to my mother.
What kind of diagnosis is that?
Because they couldn't find anything wrong with me.
Oh, they assumed that you were making the whole thing up.
Yeah. And then I never talked again about this at all, Richard, until I was 22 after that. I shut off. I didn't shut off. You can't shut what we have off. And I'm so miffed at psychics and mediums or anyone with the intuitive ability to say that this could be shut off, because you can't. And if you say you can, then you're not an intuitive psychic. I don't know what you are.
So this was a demonic attachment,
an attachment.
And how did you get those voices to stop?
By a shaman out of North Bay, who visited my mom, who heard of the story. My mother had asked through other people, and we did a small ceremony. And I from that day on, I gained an unbelievable understanding of how dark people can get because of dark energy. And I was able to control it in a way that I was never going to be attacked by that again. And I was going to stop others from having that attacked by them. And I'm protected by a white light. I'm protected by elders. I'm protected by angelics. So I'm quite, I don't know how to say this without emotional stuff, but I'm not a crazy human being. I've lived this life. I'm 64 years old. I know what I've seen, and it's hard for people to comprehend that, but I overtook myself back from them to control me. Some people aren't so lucky.
We were talking about past life regression. Did a past life regression reveal anything with regards to that?
Absolutely. I died. I committed suicide in my last past life.
Ah.
So it wanted it to occur once again.
Oh, I see.
So it was very interesting. And that keeps on coming up, because that void, even though I've accepted what my past soul life did, to me, that was a journey that every soul has to take. We have to be, I know it's going to sound really bad here. You have to be a good person. You had to be a priest. You had to be a politician. You had to be a murderer. You had to commit suicide. You had to be a sociopath. You had to be all of those things for us to grow into who we are today. And so the spirituality of what we are as psychic mediums is we're here to protect because of what we've learned from our past lives. Good ones anyway.
Right, right. Is there a common denominator underlying all paranormal phenomena? And I'm including ufology. I'm including interdimensionals and cryptids, because some people think Bigfoot is interdimensional, for example. Shapeshifters, which I know you discuss. Is there a common denominator that explains maybe all of that?
Wow. That's a very heavy question, Richard, and it's, I don't know how I could explain it, but we are all one unit, and we are just exploring different realms of our universe, just like they're finding different galaxies. On the earthly plane, we're testing out our human abilities, but we can become a shapeshifter. We can become a Bigfoot, in my humble opinion. We can become an alien, a gray, as we're now using as a gentle word instead of an ET. You know, we are using proper terminology lately. So what we're feeling with everything that's going on, I think we're understanding more about our soul lives, our the darkness that is around us, the light that's around us. I think that we can come back and be anything that our soul is required to be, to grow exponentially into each different life, to be fulfilled.
Well, what are shapeshifters?
Wow. They're interdimensional for sure. They are the ones that are coming here to learn, to help us, to make us progress in our world, to take care of us so that we don't kill each other in masses, not like what we're doing right now, but the Third World Wars, these type of things. There are so many shapeshifters out here right now, allowing us not to press the wrong button at the wrong time. They're helping us. They're not hindering us. They're not evil, but they're helping. We just see them. And when we do see them, like anything, we don't understand it, so we're becoming fearful of it. Same with shadow people. Same thing. They're not evil. They're just interdimensional. They're changing from one dimension to another. We just get lucky enough to see them do that.
Have you seen a shapeshifter?
I have seen a shapeshifter in Denver Airport.
Oh, tell me more.
They were working as an attendant to make sure that everybody, like a customer service type person. Shapeshifters will notice and see sensitive people or intuitive people. And if they can get away with it, they won't be seen. But I was staring at this one who was helping everyone, and they moved very, very differently than other human beings normally move. There was like a slow progression to getting to that person. And when they talk to them, it's almost like they talked through them. And aura colors are a big deal for me. And their aura colors are few as compared to people, humans. And they only have a few. So when I was looking, I kept on looking at this person constantly. And they looked at me, feared themselves. They took off their ID. They put their pencil thing down, and they scurried and they ran from me as much as they could. And they were paging this person to try and come to find out where they were. And she never came back. And I was delayed. My flight was delayed for 2 hours. They were still looking for her.
So with this shapeshifter, what shape did they shift into? I mean, they took on human form, but what other form did they take on?
When they could have taken on anything to escape. They could have taken in becoming a dog, someone's dog. They could have been a lost animal. They could have walked out, turned themselves into a crow or a raven or something, but to escape.
But did you witness them shifting shape?
No, I just watched them turn around, and they ran the funniest because everyone said, "Look how funny she's running." It wasn't just me. But the run everybody saw. So it was very cool.
Right.
She was just running backwards, but frontwards. It was very weird.
Is there any connection between shapeshifters and skinwalkers?
No, I think they're both the same. And I think that we as the human race trying to sort them out, they're both the same to me. To me. Now that could change. That's everybody else's opinion. But this intuitive is saying that they're the same.
Any experience with Sasquatch, Bigfoot?
Just the smell.
Ah, where? Tell me.
I was at Devil's Thumb in Colorado. And I was doing, I go to a lot of different resorts and do what I do for a week here and there. And as I was taking, I had a mental day, a day off. So I had met a guide who said, hey, let's go horseback riding. We're going to go through this part and we're going to take you up to Devil's Thumb. And I said, wow, this is cool because you saw it from your hotel window. We drove a few miles, got on our horsebacks and started to ride. He says, we have to get off our horses and everyone walks and the horses will get to the point they already know. And the horses buckled back, held back. And I'm not a hunter, but my uncles and my father were. So I know what the smell of elk is, bear, you know, the wildlife itself, I understood. But this was so rancid, it was unbelievable. And the horses doubled back and came back without us. And my guide said that this is absolutely disgusting. I've never smelled anything like that before. But if I turned, it doesn't matter which way I'm going to tell you. If I turned northeast to where the path was, I can feel the energy of a portal. So that was so quick and they were gone that quick. Because you can feel the energy when you walk through a portal that unbeknownst to us was there, or the feeling of it. My whole body changes. I feel like pins and needles when I'm near a portal. It's crazy.
So the Bigfoot came out of the portal, went back into the portal. So that, yep. Bigfoot are interdimensionals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or we would have been having them by now. They're doing that earthly DNA now that they find in a foot pattern, and they cannot tell that it's not human what they've done through the DNA testing in there. Obviously, it's not the pure DNA, but it's not from us. It's not from our Earth. It's kind of weird, kind of cool.
With an out of body experience, I mean, is that something that you've also experienced?
Yes.
OBEs?
Yep.
Does your out-of-body experience include some of these other dimensions, the astral plane and so forth?
My out-of-body experience was at Côte Sainte-Catherine Beach in Quebec, Canada. It was one of the most popular places to go to. And it would have been Labor Day weekend before going back to school. And I drowned in this water, and there was a wharf that was about 5 feet at that time, probably a meter and a half. On my back on the sandy water. I had bumped my head. I just fell back. There was a whole bunch of kids. I'm looking up, the sun is shining, I'm seeing the water, I can see everything. And I was picked up by my chest with a hand and put on the wharf. No mouth-to-mouth was done in 1966, my friend. I don't know if it was even invented. But some woman put me on my side. I coughed out the water, and I came back to life. But no one knew where I came from for me to be gasping for air and not being able to breathe. It wasn't water down the wrong hole. I was drowning. I was throwing up water for hours.
So some unknown hand reached down and grabbed you and...
Yep. And I had like a big, big birthmark of redness for weeks after that on my chest. Couldn't explain it.
Wow.
That is my experience for near-death experience.
What's a typical day for you now, Jim? Like, because you say you can't shut it off. I mean,
no.
So what's a typical day like for you?
Oh, I like to freak out my wife every once in a while just for something fun to do. We're enjoying our lives up in Richmond Hill here. We go places, we do things, and every once in a while I'll get a feeling that, hey, Jilly, I'm going to talk to this guy. I really, or this woman, they need to know something. I don't carry business cards. All I do is I'm a psychic medium and I have a message for you. Would you mind hearing me? 90% of the time they want to hear it. The other 10% is profanity and get the hell away from me. You're weird. So, but most of them want to hear something because that's human nature.
Right.
And I would mention something about them applying for that job that you're worrying about so much. And they're looking around going, is this on camera? And then I'll just say, listen, that job you're getting is going to be great. But the other job working for McDonald's, which was McDonald's headquarters, I said, you're going to get that job. And she said, can I have your number? And I'm protected by Jill saying, yeah, he's the real deal. I just said, look me up. And she looked me up and she got the job at McDonald's. She didn't take the other job.
Remarkable.
So it's little things like that that I'll do, not on a daily basis, but once a week or so, something really good. And I try and give positive. I don't want to go to someone and just say, hey, you're not doing well, or you've got this or you've got that, because I know what aura colors for a grave illness is, and it's not fun to watch when somebody has it, and especially if it's your family member.
Jim Hunt, jimhuntofficial.com is the website, jimhuntofficial.com. And again, currently working on a pilot of his own. And you can stay tuned by following him on Facebook or join his monthly Friday Night Live Instagram feed, featuring weekly topics on ghosts, past lives, haunted locations, and all things paranormal. Jim, a real delight. Howdy, neighbor.
Howdy, neighbor. Thank you so much. And I would just like, if I could add, and this is up to you, I am starting a podcast called White Noise that will be played every second Tuesday.
Fantastic.
So that's where I'm going with some of that, to be better connected to my clients and to people who want answers. I do a live broadcast with everybody.
White Noise, every second Tuesday, wherever you find your podcasts.
Absolutely.
Jim, thank you again.
Thank you.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe at StrangePlanetPodcast.com.